This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. The Apostle Paul says that as Christians, we need to be willing to feel for one another. We need to be willing to feel for one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep. You know, as I studied this passage, I began thinking in my mind, I called this the Apostle Paul's Berlin Wall speech. You remember the Berlin Wall? That wall was a terrible thing. It separated families. If you happened to be on the wrong side of the wall when it went up, you couldn't get back to your family. And that's how terrible that wall was. It separated German people from one another. Now, what was true politically in regard to a nation divided from one another by walls is even more true spiritually. Just as the German people could never truly be whole and healthy and prosperous with walls separating one from another, Christians can never be whole and healthy and prosperous the way God intends for us to be, as long as we have walls up in our lives separating us from one another. But you may be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't have any walls in my life. No, there's nothing between me and other Christians. I got my friends, I got my family, and as for the rest, I don't bother them, and they don't bother me. How many of you know that if that's your attitude, you got a wall problem already? Amen? You see, most of us, most Christians, have some walls in our lives that we may not even be aware that we have. Let's talk about some of the walls that we as Christians put up. Walls that keep us separated from one another. Walls that keep us from loving one another the way Christ commanded us to love. There are many Christians who separate themselves from other Christians, first of all, because of doctrinal differences. Doctrinal differences. You see this a lot on the internet today. Christians attacking one another because one doesn't believe quite the same way the other believes. Or it may be because of different denominations. I'm non-denominational and you are in a denominational church. And of course everybody knows that those denominational people are just totally unspiritual. Or maybe Brother Sam is a Pentecostal and speaks in tongues, but Sister Mary is a non-Pentecostal and she's been taught that speaking in tongues is of the devil. While Brother Sam was taught that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. You see, we have all of these doctrinal differences that we allow to put up walls between believers. Go over to Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 5. Let me show you what God's attitude is about Christians who believe differently from one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Look at this. It says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. First of all, the Apostle Paul says, look, as a Christian, there are going to be differences of belief. You believe that I should go to church on Sunday. Do you know there are Christians that believe that Saturday is the proper day to worship the Lord? And so you want to go one day, I want to go another day. Paul says, look, you need to be convinced in your own mind the day you believe that God wants you to go. Amen? Now, by the way, whether you go Saturday, Sunday, or Tuesday, you need to go. Amen? The key issue is you need to go, praise God. But Paul says, look, be convinced in your own mind, but understand other Christians may have different convictions. Look at verse 10 of Romans 14. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says, look, you believe one thing, your brother believes another thing, but who do you think you are to have contempt for your brother because of what he believes? Both of you got to stand before Christ. Now, there is a balance here. We need to understand something. Christians cannot associate with people who don't believe and don't teach the fundamental truths of the faith. You see, there are some fundamental things that are non-negotiable. Amen. For example, if you don't believe in the virgin birth or in the resurrection of Christ, I'm sorry, but I can't fellowship with you. You see, that's outside the boundaries of what it means to be a Christian. Go over to 2 John. Look at verses 9 through 11. The scripture is very, very clear. If you are inside the boundaries of what it means to be a believer, then whatever you believe, you're still my brother, you're my sister. But if you are outside that boundary, and that's what you're teaching people, I can't associate with you. Look at this, 2 John verses 9 through 11. Look at this. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So there is a line that has to be drawn. Amen? There is a line that you cannot cross. As a Christian, if what's being taught, if what's being lived is outside the boundaries of the basics of the Christian faith, you can't participate in that. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be in the ecumenical prayer meeting with the Buddhists and the Muslims and everybody else. But you take me to somebody that names the name of Christ. You may not believe like I do about baptism. You may not believe like I do about speaking in tongues, but guess what? Anybody who comes proclaiming and believing those fundamental elements of the gospel message, you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm not going to put up any walls between us. The second factor is the comfort factor. Second reason we put up walls, comfort. You see, you're different from me in some way, and so I'm not comfortable around you. You're one race and I'm another. Or you have one particular cultural background while I have another. Or one likes to worship quietly, singing hymns and anthems, while another one wants worship to be loud, with hands lifted and dancing in the spirit, and singing those praise choruses as loud as you can. Hallelujah. Understand, there is nothing wrong with being different. Amen? Nothing wrong with being different. Do you know God likes differences? God made us different, and he did it deliberately, praise God. Nothing in the world wrong with being different. And there is nothing wrong with you worshiping your way and me worshiping my way. Hallelujah. But what is wrong is when we look down on one another and despise one another for the way we worship or the way we look or the way we dress or the way we talk or what we drive or what kind of house we live in. When we look down on one another and despise one another because of our differences, we've put up walls. Go over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. I don't care what your race is, your background, your culture, what language you speak. If you love Jesus, you're my brother and you're my sister. Third reason we put up walls between one another is our pride. Do you know that there are actually Christians who think they are better than other Christians because of the way they talk or the way they act or the way they dress or what they drive or the kind of house they live in or how much money they got or just how cool they are. Do you know that there are Christians who actually look at themselves as being better than other believers? Understand something. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. You understand there's a good pride and a bad pride. Amen? For example, if you work hard and graduate from college, that's something to be proud of. Isn't that right? Amen. That's a good pride. But then you work hard and graduate from college and you look down on somebody who only has a high school education. Guess what? You just stepped over the line. How many of you got something that you can be legitimately proud of? Let me just see. Legitimately proud. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody ought to be able to raise their hand to that. Amen. You got something going for you in your life. Why? Because God has given you some things. God has given you abilities and God has given you resources to fulfill a purpose in your life. There is not a person here that doesn't have something from God. So yes, we have some legitimate sources of pride, but look, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 7, look. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Do you catch it? God says, yes, you've got some good things. Yes, you've got some sources of legitimate pride. But whatever you got, where did it come from? God gave it to you. Amen? You see, everything you've got came from God. And so he says, look, why are you pretending like you did it yourself? Go over to James chapter 4. Look at verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. Look at this. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is against the proud. When you are operating out of pride, you got God to contend with. But the humble, he gives grace. Amen. Number four, the fourth reason, the fourth way that we erect walls between us as Christians is the spirit of offense. The spirit of offense, being offended at one another. You know, this is probably the biggest source of division in the church. Somebody in the body of Christ says something or does something that hurts or angers you, and you are offended. And up goes the wall of separation. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You know, there are Christians, or at least church members, in Harrisburg today, sitting in church. One of them on one side of the sanctuary, and the other one on the other side of the sanctuary. And if they happen to meet on the way to the door, they will totally ignore one another. Don't even talk because of the spirit of offense. There are Christians called church hoppers. Church hoppers. They spend a year or two or three in a church, but then something happens. They get offended with somebody. And whether it's the pastor, whether it's a number member, they get offended and suddenly, guess what? Boom, they're out of there. On their way to find the perfect church where nobody will ever offend them. How many of you know that that church does not exist? There is no perfect church. Amen? And let me tell you something. There is no church where you will not be offended sometime. There is no church where you will not be offended sometime. You know why? Because being offended and learning to handle offense in a godly manner is part of a necessary part of your spiritual growth and development. If you are going to grow up spiritually, you've got to be offended and yet know how to handle that offense in a godly way. And so if there was a perfect church where nobody ever offended anybody else, God wouldn't let you go there, because if you did, you'd stay a baby. You never would grow up. Amen? And so expect to be offended. As lovable as I am, I may offend you sometimes. As wonderful as the rest of the congregation are, they may say something or do something that you don't like. But guess what? That's part of life as a Christian. God never promised that we would not be offended at one another. No, what he promised was that if we learn how to forgive, if we learn how to love, we can overcome offense. And that's what we've got to do. Here's the bottom line. When you get offended, get over it. Get over it God's way. Amen? Get over it. If you need to forgive, forgive. If you need to overlook it, overlook it. If you need to go to the person and confront it, as the Bible tells us to do, then go do that. But whatever you do, you need to handle the situation in a godly manner and restore fellowship between you and that other believer. You cannot afford to keep a wall of offense between you and any other brother or sister in the body of Christ. So, offended? Get over it. And do it God's way. Refuse to let a spirit of offense be offense between you and your brother or sister. Now, you ought to be listening to that. I spent a long time thinking that one up. Refuse to let a spirit of offense be offense between you and any other believer. Number five, the fifth reason that we erect walls between one another. And this one is really the basic issue. Number five is selfishness. Selfishness and self-centeredness. Let me just see how honest we are this morning. How many of us would admit to being selfish sometimes? Oh, amen. Honest folks, praise the Lord. How many of us would admit to being selfish a lot of the time? I understand. Many of us, even as Christians, are still so focused in on ourselves and our issues and our concerns that we don't have the time or energy to really be concerned about anybody else. You hear it all the time, don't you? I don't have time for this. You hear that? I don't have time for you. Or, well, that's your problem. It's not mine. I got my own issues. See, what are we saying? Look, I understand that you hurt. I understand that you're in pain. I understand that you're dealing with difficulties, but I got my own things to be concerned about. You going to the hospital? Well, I hope you get well, but you know, I got my own issues. You lost your job? Well, I wish I could help you, but I got bills to pay. You're having problems with your marriage, and you're really concerned that your marriage might break up. You know, that's really rough. But after all, that's your business. And I really don't want to get in the middle of anything. Here's what we need to know. Here's what we need to remember. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 15 again. What the Apostle Paul is dealing with in this text is how we can learn to really care for our brothers and sisters, how we can learn to tear down those walls that separate us from one another. Again, in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Or as we put it on our list of 10 ways to love your family, number 8, we need to be willing to feel for one another. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. The Apostle Paul says that number one, if we're going to tear down the walls that separate us from others in the body of Christ, we've got to be willing to open our hearts and feel for one another. Look here at 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, what? All the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, what? All the members rejoice with it. What body is it talking about? The body of Christ. And who are the members of the body of Christ? All of us. Amen. All of us who are in Jesus Christ. This past Friday, I came and went into my office. And the moment I opened the door to my office and went in, I was already not feeling great, but I went in there and man, I started feeling extremely bad, extremely distressed. And you know, it took me a couple of seconds, but I figured out what was happening. I've had some ants coming into my office. And so I had a can of ant spray. And the day before, I had sprayed that ant spray. And then I closed the door and went home. So when I walked in that office, guess what? I started breathing ant spray. Now I know what an ant feels like. Amen. But look at what happened. Those molecules from that ant spray came into my lungs. But you know something? My lungs did not hurt. My head hurt. My chest heaved. My arms hurt. My legs got weak. I got out of there. Amen. But the thing is, catch it. Even though the thing that was initially affected was my lungs, who was feeling bad? All of me. The whole body was feeling bad. Amen. And what the scripture is teaching us is that if one of us is in distress, guess what? The whole body is affected. We need to be willing to feel for one another. The three words that I want to give you that will help us to learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Three words, they each begin with S. Number one is sensitive. I need to be sensitive to my brother and my sister. How many times has someone around us going through something and it doesn't even register that they've got a problem? We just go right on by, how you doing? And what's the normal answer to how you doing? Fine. Or if you're spiritual enough, I'm blessed. Amen. Your face is about halfway down to the floor. I'm blessed. And that happens, and what? We just keep right on walking. I'm glad you're blessed. Praise the Lord. And keep right on going. We need to ask the Lord to help us to be sensitive to what's going on with one another. We need to ask him to help us to be aware and to care when our brothers and our sisters are struggling. Understand something. God can give us supernatural discernment to see beneath the surface and know when a brother or a sister needs us to be there to support them. Amen? And we need to ask him to give us that sensitivity. Word number two is sympathetic. Sympathetic. We need to let what is affecting that person, that brother or that sister, affect us emotionally in the same way. Anybody know what a tuning fork is? Tuning fork is a little instrument that you use to tune pianos. And all you do is you just hit it and it vibrates. Well, the interesting thing is, if you take a tuning fork and you hit it and it vibrates, then you take another tuning fork that you did not hit, but put it close to the one that's vibrating, guess what? The second one will begin to vibrate in exactly the same way. You see, that's a sympathetic reaction to the vibration of the first one. That's what God is asking for us. We need to be able to enter into the emotions of our brother and our sister. Now understand, there has to be balance here. Amen? We don't need to be crying and sobbing and all of that with somebody who's going through something. There is a certain distance we do need to maintain so that we can help them through it. Amen? How would you like for your doctor to be so sympathetic that he's crying for you and got so many tears in his eyes he can't see the cut in the right place? No, you want him to have some objectivity. Amen? I saw a story about a paramedic who took his little child to the dentist. And the dentist was going to have to do some cutting to remove a tooth on this child. And he told the paramedic, look, I think it would be better if you just wait in the waiting room. Paramedic said, look, man, I see blood every day. I see people with knife wounds, with gunshot wounds. I have seen it all. I will not have any problem. The doctor said, okay. So the dentist began, opened the mouth of the child, began sawing on that mouth and pulling on that mouth. Next thing he knew, he heard a thump. Boom. The paramedic was on the floor. Why? He had a sympathetic reaction. He could handle it when he saw you with a bullet wound, but when it was his own child, that sympathy got to him. You see, we need to have that sympathy. Amen? But we don't need to be falling out on the floor. Praise God. Number three. The third word is supportive. We need to be sensitive to one another. We need to be sympathetic to one another. Number three, we need to be supportive to one another. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of a tongue. Amen? And when I'm going through something, what you say to me will either be death or life. You can either pull me down further than I am, or you can encourage me and give me the strength to make it through. Go over to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. We need to ask God to teach us how to speak a word of encouragement to our brother and our sister when they're going through something. So many times we want to look at somebody and instead of encouraging them, we criticize and judge. We need to ask the Lord to give us words of encouragement that will support somebody. And the biggest words of encouragement you can give to somebody is this: I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And take the time right there, if you can, to pray for them right then and there. But you know something else as we end? Many times it's not even about having the right words. You don't always have to know what to say. All you have to do is be willing to weep with those who weep, as well as to rejoice with those who rejoice.